ladies, gentlemen, geeks of all ages, you are now entering BJ Shay's Geek Nation. Welcome.
Yes, welcome to BJ Shay's Geek Nation. I am the Reverend Fuego. Across from me is Vicky Barcelona.
Hiya.
We've got the show's namesake, BJ Shay.
Hello.
And running the boards is me, because Joey D's ain't here. So if I screw up, sorry.
Whoops.
On today's show, we will talk with Gareth von Kallenbach about movie news and also video game news. BJ will talk about The Bad Batch in Infinite, and we'll get the Geek Sheet with Vicky B. Vicky, how can people get a hold of us?
Get a hold of us via our website, bjgeeknation.com. It's going to have our blogs, podcasts, and more. Or just search for BJ Shay's Geek Nation on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, iTunes, and the Odyssey app.
Yes, so many ways to get a hold of us and, you know, give us those 5-star reviews, or at least at the very least, just listen to us. And that Odyssey app is a great way to do so. You can search for it if you haven't gotten it yet by just spelling out AUDACY. That is Odyssey. And another thing that requires a little bit of spelling is Skewed in Review. That is SKNR. And, well, we've got our good friend Mr. Gareth von Kallenbach with us right now. Gareth von Kallenbach joins us from Skewed in Review. That is SKNR.net. And last week we just went down some of the movies that are coming out, and right now Black Widow is coming out. But if you were stuck at home and you were watching maybe a little Army of the Dead, and maybe you, like me, enjoyed it, it looks like the prequel is going to be underway at least soon.
Very soon. In fact, there's actually two things coming in the Army of the Dead universe.
What?
So, yes, one is an animated series, and the other one is a live-action film called Army of Thieves.
Oh, interesting.
And, we just the other day put out a few images from it that Netflix shared, and this one deals with Dieter, the safecracker, and it essentially chronicles his time as a small-town bank teller and how he gets drawn into this crazy adventure when he's recruited by a mysterious woman, and essentially it sets up the big heist and safecracking that leads to Army of the Dead. Now, I'm kind of sitting here going, it's an interesting concept, but A, the fact that they put it together so quickly tells me that this was already planned in,
yeah.
Unless they were sitting on Army of the Dead forever. But even then, even if you sat on Army of the Dead for a while and there was a lot of debate about was it going to the theaters and so on and so forth, this seems like it was done very quick. And my question is going to be, is a film that, as far as we know, is not going to be focusing on zombies about a supporting character really going to be that interesting? And is it going to, expand the universe? I have to think it will. Otherwise, they wouldn't be doing it. But you have to admit, it is an odd choice.
Absolutely. And I did like the character, but I mean, it wasn't one of the reasons why I loved the movie. And so, yeah, I know that Zack Snyder has talked about loving to do this whole shared universe with all of this. And even once you watch that movie, you see little tidbits that could lead to stuff happening for the future of it, as opposed to prequels. So I just got to think that this is his big brain moment when it comes down to it, and this is going to be the one that he sinks his efforts, his creative juices into to make it a shared universe type of thing.
Correct, and I think the other thing about it too is that Netflix, let's be honest, these streaming companies are fighting for original content. They're paying huge amounts of money to acquire films from studios, and I think it's a good match for them in that there are films that, if you put them in a theater, might not have done so well, would be subject to intense scrutiny and so on and so forth. And it seems like people are much more willing to give things a pass. Look at Army of the Dead. Now, if we're being objective, was that film going to light the box office on fire?
Probably not.
Probably not. And while there are all these people that are reading into things like time loops and so on and so forth, I think people could say it was one that if they had ponied up $12 or so to see, they'd probably be a little pissed about it. But when it's on a streaming service, you're willing to look the other way. Prime example with Tomorrow War. Critics tore it to pieces.
Mm-hmm.
Fans have generally been, oh, yeah, it was stupid. There was this. There was a lot of gaps in logic, but hey, I had fun. And I think that's the beauty of streaming is that, you know, for lack of a better phrase, your expectations are tempered. And I think it is a case of people were looking at things like this and saying, you know what, this is cool. And Netflix was smart enough to say, if this was Warner Brothers, Snyder, we all know what happens with him and his films and that sort of thing. It's a good match because they pretty much just said, go and do your thing. And here's your money, make it happen. Because for them, the risk is not the same as putting a $200 million film in the theaters, then having to pay promotion, publicity, mm-hmm. all of that. You know, they can control the costs a lot more. And it makes sense. And like I said, I think this is going to be a very interesting setup because you have the animated series coming. And it should be very interesting to see how that all plays into everything.
Absolutely. Moving on from that, San Diego Comic-Con is going to be at home, and AMC just dropped some of the news of some of the stuff that they're going to be talking about.
Correct. We're getting a lot of stuff coming in now. I mean, it's still too early to know about the smaller November in-person show they're talking about. But what I'm really excited about is last year, if you remember, we had a lot of online panels, but there was no filming going on. And we had so many panels that were essentially pre-recorded where the cast were coming around saying, you know, hey, we're looking forward to filming again. We can't wait to get to filming again. And if you've ever been to the Comic-Con experience, you know that is the big thing, the drops. You will see premiere episodes months ahead of time. You will see clips. You will see footage. You will get all kinds of news. I remember seeing the premiere episode of The Expanse 6 months before it appeared on Sci-Fi. You know, that is common. We saw Batwoman the premiere episode months before, and that, you know, that's just how these things happen there, and that's what people expect, and that's why it's a big event. And so I'm really excited because while we can't meet in person, filming is going on. There are not filming shutdowns, so we should see a lot of stuff. And, you know, as AMC, as you would expect, you're getting The Walking Dead, you're getting, you know, Walking Dead World Beyond and things like that. But with the rise of their streaming service that also includes Shudder, you're getting things from some of their horror sides like Slasher, Flesh and Blood, VHS 94, Creepshow. And that, to me, pairs very well with Fear the Walking Dead, Walking Dead World Beyond, Walking Dead. And so, you know, you kind of have a motif and you have all of this horror stuff. But then just to throw a curveball at everybody, there's going to be a Doctor Who panel thrown in there as well, which, you know, really at first I was like, okay, this is a little odd. But then, you know, there's the BBC America tie-in and Jodie Whittaker is supposed to be involved, and it'll be really interesting to hear what they all have to say.
Nice. Yeah, a lot of fun stuff going on with that. And it's always just, I mean, it's slowly getting back into that normalcy. And even having something like this, sure, you're at home, it still means that you can get that information and still be hyped about it.
Oh, exactly. And, you know, really quick, the thing that is nice to see is you're seeing large casts doing these panels. It's not just a couple of them. And, you know, some creative. When you do that, when you see their panels at Comic-Con, it is not uncommon. And, you know, just some names off the top of the head, Norman Reedus, Jeffrey Dean Morgan, Lauren Cohen, you know, these are Melissa McBride, the full players, and Chris Hardwick's going to moderate. And for those who know, he is very common as a moderator for many of the big panels because he does the wrap-up show. So you can see they're getting closer and closer to what would be a virtual version of what would be in the hall, whereas last year it was kind of more like, as I like to put it, checking in and an update. And now we're getting this is what we've got coming. Stay tuned.
Nice, nice, nice. And then finally, it looks like we're going to be getting, I mean, we're not in the 80s or the 90s anymore, but we're going to be getting a RoboCop video game.
Yeah. Now this one really surprised us. It came out of the blue. Now, obviously, we knew three RoboCop movies. There was the reboot. There was the TV series. There have been some animated series. And, yeah, there have been some RoboCop games over the years. And so we get this title called RoboCop Rogue City coming in 2023, console and PC. Very vague teaser trailer. The story that we're told is that essentially it ties into the original three films. Not sure if it's first-person shooter, not sure if it's third-person. Bottom line, there's going to be a lot of action. And I thought about it and said, man, that's some really unusual timing. And then I thought about it, and dovetailing into Comic-Con of old, I remembered something that was told to me, and this is really intriguing. Now, Ed Nurmeyer is a writer who wrote RoboCop. He wrote Starship Troopers, that sort of thing. He's worked on some of the offshoots. He had mentioned that he was kicking around ideas for another one. And a little over a year ago, there was a director announced, writers announced, that they're considering a movie called RoboCop Returns. And the tagline's very simple. RoboCop returns to fight crime in Detroit. We've heard it'll be based more on the original than the reboot, so on and so forth. And, you know, it's not uncommon. These things are announced. Sometimes they happen, sometimes they don't. But it got me thinking, going, wow, you're announcing a game that's 2 years out instead of waiting for next year at E3 or something like that. Kind of makes me wonder if maybe there is some traction on this RoboCop movie or another RoboCop-related project where these people, licensing deals started to get talked about because, sure, RoboCop's a decent franchise, but let's be honest, it's been dormant for a while.
Yeah.
And make me think why. I mean, yes, they're not one of the major publishers, but why would you jump into it now and announce it 2 years ahead of time? Unless perhaps there was some movement on the other side of the franchise.
Yeah, you have to hope when it comes down to something like that, because if not, you're just kind of bringing back 80s franchises that were moderately successful. And maybe that's just because it's a cheap license and you want to build a game and kind of revolve around that. I remember seeing that with the Friday the 13th game, which had such good potential and then just really ended up falling flat. I hope it's not going to end up being something along those lines.
Yeah, and, you know, it's a shame because the biggest problem, I think, with Friday the 13th was the legal problems.
Yeah.
Around the franchise came up and basically halted it because that's why we haven't had any new films in ages. And it got to the point where the lawsuit was so involved and contentious that the video game company flat out said, we're out of it. We're not doing any updates. It's too much of a minefield to even get involved in right now. And then that's went over to merchandising. You got a lot of the manufacturers were like, hey, we're not making any toys or any products, nothing until this thing is all figured out and we can go from there. And, you know, it's interesting because it does dovetail. I mean, we've got an Army of Darkness game coming, and then they are announcing a new film in the series is coming. So while it's not unheard of, you know, again, it keeps making me think about, generally speaking, you don't make a game based on a franchise that has been dormant unless there's new product. I mean, someone's like, well, what about the Aliens game? I said, well, let's not forget there's an Aliens television series in the works. Yes, it may still be a couple years off. There is a connection. And that, you know, that just seems so odd to me that after all this time, when, you know, what's it been, 15 years since we had the reboot, that all of a sudden,
oh God,
boom,
yeah,
Here's a new game and it's 2 years out. And, you know, like I said, it does make you wonder.
Definitely piques the interest, and that's what we love. Thank you so much, Gareth. Again, Gareth Von Kallenbach from Skewed and Reviewed. That is SKNR.net. Get all sorts of movie news, rumors, television show stuff, video games. Oh, my gosh, so much more. Find that at Skewed and Reviewed. Thank you so much, Gareth.
Anytime. Take care.
Moving on from all of that fun news, we got to do some TV talk. BJ, what have you been watching, man?
I've been watching The Bad Batch.
Oh, yes, the good old Star Wars show.
Yeah, this is the show that takes place after Order 666. What is it, 69? Order 67?
Order 66.
Yeah. Order 420.
That's what it is, yeah.
Good God, you guys.
That's when it takes place. And so, and of course, you got a bad batch of clones. They call them a bad batch, but they really are clones that were altered in some way to be different than the average clone. Smarter in some cases, stronger in some cases, really great trackers in some cases. And we're following these bad batch guys around, and they've discovered a new clone that they found in the clone joint there, Kamino.
Mm-hmm.
If you remember. And so she's a young clone, and it turns out she's got original, we just found out she's got original clone DNA. Like she has the original DNA from Jango Fett.
Really? So at this point, she's essentially just a pure clone of Jango.
And that, so she's super valuable to them. And so the Kamino ones want them back, but there are two factions. There's, if you remember, Lamassu.
Mm-hmm.
Lamassu wants her back just so he basically can get the original DNA and then kill her.
Oh, geez. Yeah, yeah. Not good.
But Tong Wei, I think Tong Wei is like, or Tong Wei, she's actually wanting to save the girl because she doesn't want to kill her because she's got an attachment to her. And mm-hmm. even, you know, Lamassu's like, you have an unhealthy attachment to this kid. And they've got bounty hunters all over the place, but Tong Wei hired a very familiar bounty hunter that we saw in The Mandalorian, and that, of course, is Fennec Shand, Ming-Na Wen's.
Oh, yeah!
So she's made an appearance in this, and we finally found out that she actually has good intentions as she's trying to basically kidnap for a bounty Omega, however you want to pronounce it. This is the little young clone that the Bad Batch.
It would make sense if it was Omega, just because of the fact that it's the last one.
I agree.
Like the Alpha and the Omega. That'd kind of make sense.
And they say the Alpha was the code name for Jango Fett.
Oh, yeah, then totally. That's done on purpose.
Or Boba. Maybe Boba. I forget. Maybe Boba was the Alpha and she is the Omega.
Because he was, he was the first clone. Who was just not altered at all and was to be made to be Jango's son.
Yeah. So that's basically, for all intents and purposes, this is Boba's sister. In a weird way. So this is it's got a good plot as we're trying to figure out who she is, what she's all about, getting to see some of these characters that we've known from other series show up. And it is, the animation, of course, is always good. And there's some, filler episodes because you got a 16 episode season they're doing.
They crank those out. And I found that out with Clone Wars because I'm still working through all of the Clone Wars because it's still super interesting. And I don't want to miss anything just because of how much it seems that stuff like The Mandalorian and a lot of the new shows are really taking from this old lore.
Yeah, look, if you love it, you love it. Every once in a while, I'll sit there and I'll go, all right, I don't know if I needed this episode. But it's still entertaining. And, of course, it's the Star Wars universe. And I love the Bad Batch. I mean, I do love the idea that these clones and these, all we think of with the clones are basically the Clone Warriors, the Stormtroopers. Of course, we had a great relationship with Rex and some of those clone guys, from Clone Wars. So, maybe Rex did or did not show up also in Bad Batch.
Maybe.
He might have shown up or not. I don't know. It's I think this is definitely something you're going to want to watch, Rev.
And
we talk about it from time to time. I think it's well done. And again, it's on Disney Plus. But The Bad Batch.
What else have you been watching?
Well, I did watch something else. I really did. And this is unfortunate because, I really thought this could be good. I saw the trailers. I'm already a Paramount Plus subscriber because I love my Star Trek. So, of course, I'm going to do that. And so there comes Infinite. And I go, whoa, what is this? And it looks pretty cool. As you know, there are these beings that retain all their memories when they reincarnate. So it's based on a book called The Reincarnation Papers, and it's called Infinite. And I'm like, okay, Mark Wahlberg is in it.
Sounds somewhat interesting. And then you say Mark Wahlberg, and now I'm...
Yeah, and Chiwetel Ejiofor.
I'm confused.
Chiwetel Ejiofor. I think I'm saying his name right. I always mess up his name. He was Baron Mordo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in Doctor Strange. Yeah,
yeah. He's done a lot of other good stuff too. But he almost looks unrecognizable. Like it took me a while because he's bald in this, and it makes him look a lot older than I believe he is because he's always seemed to be more youthful in the other movies I've seen him in. And it's amazing. It's unfortunate what happens when you lose your hair.
It does make you look a little bit older than you may want to be.
And I like his character. He does a good job with it. He plays also an Infinite in this as well. His name is Bathurst. And you know, Mark Wahlberg's the star. Vicky would love that Jason Mantzoukas is in it.
Yay! He's such a mess. In like all his characters are messes, I should say.
His character's a bit of a more of an a-hole than a mess. I mean, his character's actually got his act together.
I feel like it's like one of those, like, either you're a mess or an a-hole or something in the middle.
Yeah,
sometimes it's both.
Yeah, and the concept is really cool. The concept is that, you know, you can. There are certain beings that actually remember their past lives and therefore remember all the skills that they've had with them for their hundreds and hundreds of years that they were doing what they were doing. And so that's the idea. And there's a plot in here where Bathurst is trying to destroy the world.
Oh, you
know,
okay.
You know, there's two. And that's the thing. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if they mess up the book or if the book's plot's a little weird. But, you know, the idea is that you've got these infinites that want to keep life going and basically use their reincarnation abilities to steward the planet and help out humanity.
Yeah.
And then the other people that think, no, this sucks. We want to kill everybody. And
okay.
I'm like, okay, it's almost like it's hard for me to believe that you can get a bunch of people together to help you want to kill everybody.
It seems
like everybody. It's you're going to die too.
It seems to me also along the same lines of what we're seeing in terms of Marvel's Eternals. Because on the opposite side of them, who have they don't reincarnate; they've essentially been just kind of eternal. But on the other side of those are the deviants, who are the baddie version of those.
Yeah.
It kind of seems very reminiscent of that, where it's like, yeah, some people. I mean, if you just think about it, like with the Dark Knight, some people just want to watch the world burn.
Yeah, and that's the thing. But you can't watch the world burn if you're dead. That's the thing. You know what I mean? That's the thing. I can see why one. And one dude, the Bathurst reason for wanting to, he explained. I get why he wants to. But it's like, yeah, but not everybody else has your issues. You know what I mean? I can see. And my brain goes, if you don't want to reincarnate so much, spoiler alert, if you're tired of the reincarnation process, why don't you just do something about you? Like, why do you got to kill the whole world? You could just get rid of you, and then you wouldn't have to reincarnate. You know, it's just like, you
know, because like, what's the fun in that?
I know it's like spoiler alert.
It'd be a boring movie.
Exactly. I mean, that's it. I feel like if it was a pitch meeting to move the plot forward,
I don't know.
I really did not enjoy this movie.
I could tell.
I hate to say this. I don't know if it's the writing or Mark Wahlberg or both, but his lines were so horribly delivered.
Say hello to your mother for me.
Yeah. It's just, I'm sorry, Mark. I really felt, you know, you ever notice it, but he really felt too old for the role. I just thought, I don't believe at your age you can do what you're doing. I know you want to believe at your age that you can do what you're doing, but I feel like a much younger person should be in this role. And I think what happened is, and I don't know the book, but I feel like I bet the person in the book is a lot younger.
Okay, maybe, yeah.
Because there was a couple of explanations. You know, normally people at a younger age get to get whatever. And he's like, yeah, well, you know, they put me on pills, and so therefore I must have stunted my thing. And it's like, or maybe you're just too old for the role.
He's 50, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, 50-year-old running around like this sort of thing. I mean, he's not Liam Neeson, guys.
And the woman that's helping him, like everybody else that seems to be helping him are all younger. You know, it's like, because, well, they're all new reincarnates. And then there's him who's forgotten he's reincarnated. That's why he's so old. But whereas it's, no, you're really, this shouldn't be the way it is. So there's just a lot of things I'm just like, you know.
So what you're saying is maybe skip this for anything else?
Yeah.
Okay.
I hate to say it. I mean, I haven't seen the Tomorrow War yet. I hear that's better.
There's ups and downs on that. It seems the critics hate that one, and the fans are very okay with it.
Yeah,
so
the critics aren't a big fan of Infinite either, actually. I don't know what the people think.
So that might mean people love it.
Yeah. Here's my problem. Here's what I will tell you. The problem is this. If you're a person that watches a show like Loki, you just can't tolerate mediocre entertainment anymore. I mean,
Fair enough.
I mean, that's the problem. It's like, it's, you know, like, guys, I'm watching Loki. So you're putting this in front of me. I just watched Loki.
Which essentially is like a three to four hour epic movie,
with really good acting. Mm-hmm. I mean, And I know we're going to talk about Loki at some point.
Yeah, in a couple days, yeah.
And we will. In a couple days, we'll talk about Loki because Richard Grant, I will just say this, Richard Grant, who was the old Loki, and he's such a tremendous actor if you've ever seen him in anything. I mean, you that's what they're competing with. Competing with that.
So at that point, maybe go find an old Richard Grant movie as opposed to going to see Infinite.
Yeah, or just watch some of the Star Trek shows on Paramount Plus if you're already on there.
All right, there. Perfect. Well, while you go look up Star Trek shows to cleanse that palate, it's time for
The Geek Sheet with Vicky B.
All right, Vicky, what do you got for us?
So I feel like slowly but surely we're kind of getting back to quote unquote normal.
Oh, yeah, whatever normal is.
Right. And one of the big things that is normal is movies coming to the theaters.
Oh, hell yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And since it's Friday.
Oh, today's a big day for me because I'm doing it.
Oh, are you
doing it in theaters or are you doing it at home? Because Black Widow, you can do either.
Oh, right. I wasn't sure what you were talking about because there are things I do at home that I don't do in theaters because you can get arrested. But yes.
Whoa. Yeah.
Pee Wee Herman, calm down.
Yeah, I don't do that. Yes, Black Widow, I'm doing it in the theater.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Just going to a straight up just random showing? Or?
Well, our folks that used to listen to the Board Game Alliance before the quarantine, our buddy Josh, actually reserved an entire theater, which I guess is a lot more inexpensive than I thought.
You can do that. I know you can do that through AMC theaters.
It was
something like you could do like older releases for like, I think, $99. And then newer ones are a little bit more, depending on which ones they are and such like that. So that's big baller status, though.
I know. How about that? It's like he's treating everybody, too. I don't think I got to pay.
Oh, look at you.
How about that?
As of the time of the recording of this podcast, the tomato meter, with 226 reviews, is giving it an 81%.
Wow.
Well, that's not surprising. It's a Marvel movie, right?
Yeah, everyone usually loves Marvel movies.
I mean, but we're also, you got to take into account that we've seen this happen where the movie scored high, Wonder Woman, and then slowly but surely just went...
Yeah, but that's not a Marvel movie.
No.
Sorry.
But, it does
Wonder Woman
fluctuate.
Yeah. And that's Wonder Woman 1984. We don't want to besmirch the first Wonder Woman movie.
No, the first Wonder Woman was pretty fantastic. But I think it's safe to say everyone's excited for this. We've been waiting for it for a long time. It gets pushed back and pushed back and pushed back because of the quarantine and COVID and stuff. And it looks like I was reading a couple articles saying this might be a really good weekend for them.
So, well, I feel like, I think everybody's ready to do, like, maybe go back and go to a theater. And I think folks, lots of folks feel safe enough to go do that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The wife and I are planning on going to see it this weekend if we catch the time. Probably tonight, since the rest of the weekend's actually kind of busy, to be perfectly honest.
You going out in the town? You doing it?
I'm going to try to. Yeah. Have some fun with that. We're all vaxxed up and we'll go and safely go and check out some fun movies.
So how about you, Vicky? Are you going to Disney Plus it?
I'm going to Disney Plus it.
There she goes.
Yeah, stay at home.
Here's the thing. Vicky doesn't want to go out no matter what's going on.
You keep the PJs on.
I'm very much enjoying my new, like, hermit witch lifestyle.
Vicky the Bog Witch.
Yes, I'm very much, this is my new role in life, and I'm okay with it.
Are there any other movies coming out this weekend?
There's a few other ones, but I think they don't look great.
Oh, no.
Whoa.
Like, there's one called The Nest, and it's a horror movie.
It's
really creepy looking.
You're
a lot of
out.
Bugs. I'm out. But there's nothing. There's like two reviews on the tomato meter, so it's not even.
Oh.
But it's a All horror right. mystery thriller, if that's your jam. And like, there's like no name actors, so that makes me want to watch it even more. Not really.
Not quite. Yeah, really.
It says, as a mother becomes suspicious that her daughter may be infected by a parasitic creature, she is thrust into a nightmare as the people she trusts most push her into the chasm of drug addiction, self-destruction, and devastating sacrifice.
Oh, wow. Nice body horror mixed with a lot of...
feel-good moments.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, that's tough.
And by the way, there's a couple shows coming out. One that its first episode is, I think, either coming out or came out this week. Season one, I think episode one, of Resident Evil Infinite Darkness.
Yeah. If you want to get on the creep factor on that.
Yeah. No, thank you. But the tomato meter, it's only got 9 critic readings. It's 56%. And the audience score is 69%. But there's only 16 users that have actually reviewed it. But it seems pretty new. But if that's kind of your jam, it's not live action-y. It's kind of got that... almost like Love, Sex, and Robots vibe, or even like the Final Fantasy movies vibe.
Oh, kind of the computer animated graphics.
Like, it looks really real, but it's still very... cartoony. Like, not, how would you describe that at heart?
Yeah, I mean, you did actually describe it pretty well.
So it is animation.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. It's not. It's animation. It's not as like the still life stuff as something like that Philip K. Scanner Darkly one.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's still a little more computer generated when it comes to the animation. But,
very newer Final Fantasy.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that is actually very close to emulating like real people.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, they're trying to get super close when it comes to that.
Unlike you say, like shows like Bad Batch or Clone Wars, where the characters are obviously cartoon characters, but the backgrounds and the ships and mm-hmm. all of that look mm-hmm. really good. So, and I do like that kind of animation where they really, you know, you can tell that the characters aren't real, but at the same time, whoa! I mean, they do this one here though. Looks like they're mm-hmm. trying to make it look like they're real people.
And as far as other shows that are coming out, I thought this was a movie, but then it just like popped out of nowhere. And so that's how I figured out it was a show. Monsters at Work. So if you're a fan of Monsters University, Monsters, Inc.
Oh, okay.
This is going to be for you. And just I saw the trailer pop up on Disney Plus the other day, and it was basically Roz, if you remember. Mr. Wazowski, you didn't do your paperwork, or if you watched it in Spanish like I did. No hiciste tu papeleo, Wazowski.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. You know, for all those who watched it in Spanish like I did.
That brings back memories.
Right.
Oh, yeah, right.
Basically, Mike and Sully are now in charge.
Oh, dear.
Because at the very end of Monsters, Inc., we kind of, you know, they changed the whole model of it. Spoiler alert, if you've never seen Monsters, Inc. Geez. They went from scaring children for energy for their town or the world, basically, to making them laugh because laugh produced a ton more energy. But now they have to hire a bunch of new funny monsters instead of scary monsters. So hilarity will ensue. But John Goodman is back. Billy Crystal is back. We also got Kelly Marie Tran, which we remember her from the recent Star Wars movies. Of mm-hmm. course, Jennifer Tilly as Cecilia and John Ratzenberger because he's in everything.
Well, yeah, he needs to be in everything. Basically, he is like the one mainstay when it comes to all those movies.
And as somebody who's been watching a lot of Cars specifically, there's a joke gag where they're watching all of the Disney movies but in car form.
Oh.
And it's like, oh, that Yeti has a great voice. That actor's great. At the very end, he's like, wait a minute.
He sounds very familiar.
And it's the same
yeah,
voice.
That's awesome.
But if you guys see any new movies, any new shows, let us know. We'd love to hear your thoughts. And until next time, stay nerdy.